I know that God will provide for the people that he's trying to provide for. I'm just like one little piece of the puzzle, right? And so I had to listen to that whisper. I'm still hearing him whisper. So I haven't said no yet. When it comes to running a marathon with Team World Vision, almost always his answer is, go do it. He hasn't told me to stop yet.
Those were the words of my friend Jeannie Wang, who has run with and served as a team captain for the Chicago Marathon Park Community Church team for the last 12 years. That's right, 12 years. Each year, when we ask our team to say yes to another year, we pray that that yes to moving your feet isn't about crossing something off your bucket list. We pray that that yes is a long-term commitment to moving your feet in the name of clean water. And Jeannie is a picture of what that means. It's no easy thing to continue to train for a marathon year after year, but also to lead one of our largest church teams in Team World Vision. So today, as we are celebrating people towing start lines and crossing finish lines across the country, we are ringing cowbells loudly for our Denver runners who are starting their 7-day 6K marathon this week. And we are shouting from the rooftops for our Chicago marathoners who are taking on their 26.2 miles this weekend. And this weekend, my friends, we are also celebrating the 15th anniversary of this ministry. So to do that, we are going right back to the beginning to Chicago Marathon with someone who has followed the call to say yes year after year. I'm so excited for you to hear our conversation with Jeannie. I'm LDR. Welcome, Beyond the Walls with Team World Vision.
So Jeannie Wang, here we are, Beyond the Walls with Team World Vision. My friend, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, LDR, it's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh. It's a moment, man. You are kind of like Team World Vision royalty. You've been around basically since the beginning, Jeannie. How long have you been running with Team World Vision?
I started running in 2009, so not quite the beginning, but very, very early on. Michael Chitwood was still leading the group runs and every Saturday, so that was my introduction. It's a long time ago. It's like 12 years now. This is year 12, I think.
Yeah, that's incredible. So 2009, were you walking down the street? Were you sitting in a pew? How did you get introduced to Team World Vision?
So I was sitting in the back pew of a new church that I had started going to. I was at Park Community Church back in the day when the 5:30 service was the hopping service to be at. And I was sitting there and I heard Michael Chitwood give this invitation from the stage. I did not intend to go sign up for a marathon. And I walked down to the front and there were only like four people there, including myself and Michael Chitwood. And the other people that were there were like, I'm not joking, we're Boston Qualifier, like marathon people that I knew. And I knew Tony from church, but yeah, so that was how I got introduced to it. I heard his testimony and his story and his invitation. And I listened to that like whisper to go down and just like learn a little bit more about it. And I still remember what Michael said to me that day. He told me that if I was worried or I was afraid, that he had no doubt that I could finish it and I should just pull the trigger and go for it. And that's what I did. I signed up. And then I was there every single Saturday at North Avenue Beach, and I was petrified. I was like very, very scared. I had the same kind of thing happen to me where I like just didn't know. I didn't know anybody. I was new to the church. I was having a hard time plugging in to my church because Park was, even then, we didn't have 9 locations, but we had a very large church. And so it was like hundreds and hundreds of people. And I was feeling a little bit lost. So I thought that this might be a good way to meet people. I had some friends who ran with Team World Vision in 2008 who also encouraged me to run the marathon. They were also like college-sponsored athletes. And so I was very skeptical of the whole thing. I was very, very terrified. But then I met Michael and I met the crew that met on Saturdays, and it was much smaller than it is now. But I was hooked and I followed that training plan like to the T that year. I was scared. That was my first marathon, 2009.
So 2009 from back row sitter to an all-in nervous Nelly, then marathoner. So come 2010, were you back in? I mean, have you run every year since 2009?
I have run every year since 2009, much to my surprise. If you had asked me if I would run another marathon after my first, I actually didn't decide until December, because that first marathon was, it was a very hot summer. It was tough. We trained all through the summer, and then it was really cold on Marathon Sunday. It was like 32 degrees cold when we started, and then 65 when we finished. So looking back on it now, it was kind of like almost an ideal temperature for runners if you knew what you were doing. But we had, I've been running in like 80, 90 degree weather. And I made all the mistakes all the newbies make. You know, I ran out too fast. I ran probably the first half of the race with a pace group probably a couple minutes faster than my own. And then, and then you hit that wall and you keep going. And I walked a good bunch of the last couple miles. And then I finished, and I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody on the streets of Chicago then. Like, I have like cheer groups now, you know, people that I know, but I really just had one friend. My friend Marissa was there, and she was there at the finish, and she was there at the start, and she was there at one other place along the course. But that was it. It was very different. And it still remains my PR, which, you know, I don't know what that, which is kind of crazy considering I walked the good, like, last 5 miles or so. But it was really great, you know. And then she asked me that day whether I would run again. And I told her to ask me in December, which is what I now tell new runners. You know, don't make a decision the day of or the day after. Wait a little bit, even no matter what kind of day you had. And then I came back for the second year. So, and then I've been back every year since, which has just been a blessing. It's really been a blessing in my life.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, and to think about it, like you said, it's like you just got to kind of take it 1 mile at a time and then one day at a time. And we always say, let's not talk about next year. We talk about it at team dinner, forewarning. Everybody gets to say yes before you run the race, because it's not about the race, it's about the journey. But after the race, yeah, we always say, we're not going to talk about next year until at least Wednesday, because you got to celebrate. You got to sit in your soreness, but that your soreness can remind you of, you know, the burden that you've taken from other people and the impact that you've made and all of the accomplishment. You just got to sit in the celebration.
For sure. You know, and I made so many like newbie mistakes, really, even though I had gotten great counsel. It was going to be 30 degrees. I didn't know how to run in weather that cold. So I put on a thermal shirt underneath my jersey. I bought a pair of dollar bin gloves from Target, and I wore like a ski like headband because I didn't know how to keep warm in that kind of temperature. And I was hot for part of the race and then cold for part of the race. And still, it ended up being a great day. And I still, after the recovery part of it, you know, I also made every mistake possible. I didn't know what to do. I didn't keep moving. I didn't stretch. I just went home and went to sleep for 12 hours. Which is not what you should do. So I could barely get out of bed the next day. But, you know, now I would never do that, you know. And so we try to give our runners a good amount of education about what to do. Like, and I think I made a lot of mistakes, but I had a great team of people. I ran with Danny Chitwood. I ran with like all these folks that are still around today. But it just was really, my first experience was definitely my favorite. I still have all these great memories from all the other races. I shouldn't say it's my favorite. It's like one of my favorites now, because there have been others that are just as great for different reasons.
So now that you said, okay, I did things wrong, you're a team captain now, 12 years into this, what are your suggestions for people of what to do?
Well, now I tell people some of the same things, like, you know, trust your training, don't try, don't go out too fast, slow and steady, whatever pace you've been running, slow and steady until you get to the halfway point. Then if you feel like you want to kind of go for it a little bit, you can pick up the pace a little bit, but slow and steady. Don't try to run with a new pace group. And nothing new on race day if you can help it. I was like super lucky that I, you know, it was just a shirt that I put on, but it was there could have been other things that went wrong, but it was actually a really good day. And I think that no matter what happens on race day, you make modifications, because every day, every race is different. You don't know the temperature. You don't know how your body's going to feel that morning, during the race or after. But I've been really just fortunate that every race I've started, I've been able to finish I haven't had injuries or bad outcomes, you know, at the end of the race. I've always had the ability to finish, and sometimes on the time that I wanted to, sometimes much ahead of the time I thought I was going to finish, but each race I've been able to finish, and that's been partly by just, you know, God's grace and his mercy. And I just really loved it.
I think Rich Rell calls it the triple transformation, right? You're transforming yourself and others, but then this community too gets transformed all at the same time, locally and globally. It is powerful to watch year after year. It's a new story every season.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And for our church especially, our church has grown. You know, we have like 9, at the last count, I think it's about 9 locations. We've really grown and spread throughout the city. And so it's still the same though. There's a lot of people that come that are kind of transient because they're here for school or here for grad school, or they come for their first job in the city. And so it can be a very large, overwhelming thing to make friends and to find a place to plug in. So Team World Vision has also been a great parachurch ministry for us because it really draws people in. It gives them the ability to find friends, because when you run with somebody for like 500 miles over the season, you get to know them. And a lot of our people are sometimes, they are kind of one and done. We have people that return every year, and then we have folks that they run the one marathon and then they don't come back, but they stay at our church and they get plugged in to other things. They serve on the worship team or the communion team, or they're working with refugee ministry. And it's a beautiful sight to see them find a place. They join small groups. We have people get baptized, you know, all these things can happen. And it's been really awesome to see it. But their first like little venture into community at our church is oftentimes like, I'll go run with folks on Saturday. And it's low pressure. There's not a big commitment other than committing to the marathon. But it's different than, you know, it's like, it's different. It's a little bit more social. It's not as, I'm not signing up to do a 9-week Bible study. I'm signing up to run with people, something they may know how to do really well, or something that they just want to check off their bucket list, and they get to do it in community. So that's beautiful, and we love to see that as well. And then we continue to see the life transformation as they go on, even if they don't come back to the lakefront. Then we have our returners too, and they come back, and probably about 20 to 30% of our team comes back every year. And now I have this great team of people around me. So while I captain the team, I also have multiple captains who help make it go seamlessly. So it's never been something I've done solo, really.
When you think about this season, like you're saying, a lot of people come into the season looking for community, and they can find that community on the lakefront. This year, with being, you know, socially or physically distanced, and with quarantine and just everything that we've encountered, you know, we've really leaned into this idea of Pomoja. And I was curious for you, are there any specific moments maybe that played out for you, or the way that you've seen that manifest this season?
Yeah, this season has been really difficult. It's been challenging. The lakefront is a great, beautiful place to run, but typically there's water. Typically there are bathrooms. Things like that we've had to navigate a little bit differently. But our team came together and they managed to make it work. People bought their own water. They brought running vests. They had hydration packs. And we made a plan, the local businesses that were able to let you use their bathrooms or like places along the way. And it worked out. It didn't look the same. It didn't have the comfort and the convenience I think the lakefront usually has. Because when you have water every half mile to a mile guaranteed and like a restroom, like it's like a no-brainer. You love to run on the lakefront because anything that goes wrong, you have like an exit point. And so that didn't happen this year, but it was kind of a beautiful thing because it's also a little bit of what our people are fundraising for, right? This experience of what other people deal with on a daily basis. things that are not convenient, not comfortable, not easy, but they find a way to make it work and to accomplish their goals and their dreams. And so part of Pomodoro this year, I think for me, was seeing the community come together to embrace that, to see it, they just kind of, they were flexible, they were adaptable, and we still had a community on the lakefront. It looked different, but everybody was really supportive and encouraging. And we did watch it grow from like a handful of like returners and some newbies to slowly they kind of multiplied, and we had a pretty steady crew by the end of the training season. I think it was really awesome to see too, like just my friends, and I didn't really train for the marathon this season. I took a year off, like the summer off anyway. And it was good to see faces 6 feet apart, but we still saw folks every Saturday. And we actually would see people that have run with World Vision in the past come by and say hi. They wouldn't come necessarily to the group run, but if they saw us, they saw the flag, they would come by and say hi, stop and chat for a little bit, talk about how their runs are going, or if they're biking, people biking by. And so that was really fun too, to connect with alumni. So this year, I think Pomodoro was more just adaptability and flexibility and seeing the community rise to the challenge of, well, this isn't going to be comfortable, but we can still come together and do this.
Well, and like you were saying, I mean, one, people coming back to run a marathon again, in itself, it's a marathon. Not many people run multiple marathons, right? But then you look over 12 years, you keep coming back, Jeannie. And not only that, you keep coming back to raise money and to make an impact. And I'm just curious, like, why is that? What keeps you coming back year after year to make that impact?
You know, Lindsay, that's a really good question. And people do ask me that. And I always tell them the same thing. It's because God placed me in this community and he gave me the ability to run and he called me to do it. And he will always provide, like whatever God calls you to, he provides and equips you for. So I think that early on, I just wanted to do one marathon. I was in my 30s. I was at a new church. I wanted to meet new people. I did that. I checked it off the list, right? But what's interesting about that season was I actually met very few people from my church. Most of the people I met were from other churches, with the exception of my running buddy, Lori, who is still at our church and we've completed a lot of those marathons together. And so I think that provided a sense of community and friendship for me that was like, just, I didn't know how much I needed it. My church, in some ways you could say, is a very affluent city church. You know, a lot of the folks that come, especially through the doors of Lincoln Park, our Lincoln Park campus where I attend, are people who have experienced like incredible amount of blessing in their lives. You know, 4-year colleges, grad school, they're in like business school, they have finance jobs, there's so many different things. We have the whole smattering of people at our church, but these folks, they may only stay like 2, 4, 7 years. It's kind of the average. But, you know, sometimes they get exposed to missions. They get exposed to what it is to be concerned about somebody who's not in our neighborhood and what can we do. And it changes their course in life. I've seen it. I've seen these people that, you know, came in doing one thing and they leave our church doing something else. And oftentimes World Vision is a part of that and Team World Vision is part of their story. So we love that. And so that's what keeps me coming back year after year. Life transformation, both in my life that continues to be like, you know, just to be seen, God providing, trusting God to provide, and then watching him work in my life. And then getting the privilege to watch him work in other people's lives and see the places that they go. That's what brings me back year after year.
I know that I've been told too, you know, over the years is, you know, you run all the way through the finish line, you know, just do what you're called to do all the way to the end. And if God keeps calling you, that finish line might move. It might go another 26 miles out, which means you just got to keep going, but that you just do what you're told to do and God will be with you every step of the way. So just lean in and finish strong with no regrets and, you know, you just go to bed thankful because God is always at work and God is always using us, many times in spite of us. But he's good and he's faithful. And it really is continually humbling to me that we get to do this.
I agree with you 100%. You know, 12 years, I'm lucky to still be able to run and to walk and to have no injuries. You know, the places that God has let me go in this journey have been amazing. You know, being able to meet my sponsor kids, being able to see World Vision work, being able to watch, you know, people take very different life, you know, paths because of this, it's been incredible. And I just feel, when I stop and think about it, it is humbling to be able to be a part of that journey in people's lives. We feel that way when we're in a small group and have the very personal connections, but I feel that way when I see it with my runners and I see it with the people and the friends that I've encountered over the years. It's an incredible network of people that God has brought me into. And when I think back to that, like, that lonely person sitting in the back of the pew, and the reason I was there was because I had recently started a new job. I had wanted to go to a new church, and it was like God brought me to a new place. Most of my friends, because there is this transition in the city, I had you know, a huge group of people exit because they got married, they moved away to St. Louis and Seattle and Michigan. And I found myself in a city where I had gone to school and lived for about 10 years, and suddenly my friend group had shrunk so much that I felt lost. And so I thought that I felt God calling me to a different place. And so I started checking out the church that I'm at now, and I could not have known what would have happened 12 years later. I just didn't. I was looking for friends, you know, and community and a place to kind of belong. And I found something much bigger, much richer. And it's been like an incredible thing to watch, like, the vision and dream of one, like, that God put on one person's heart grow into the national thing that Team World Vision is, and to be a part of, like, the change that's been happening throughout the world. I feel really grateful to have been in on the kind of like the ground level of it. I think that hopefully all of those 1,800 that are taking on the Pomonja, I've told people this over and over again. You got to the start line uninjured, you can finish the race. You'll be fine. Trust your training. God is with you. And in those times of need, when you feel like you can't do this, ask the Lord and He will help you. It's true. He will help you cross that finish line, and we'll be there to celebrate it. So I love Marathon Weekend, and this is it's going to be a different kind of Sunday, but it's going to be a great weekend wherever you're running this marathon, and it's going to be an incredible, amazing thing at the finish to celebrate.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story and your insights and your emotions and your presence with us. You are a gift, Jeannie Wing. We're so thankful for you.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's been great talking to you. And I'm excited to see how Sunday turns out. And we'll see. Hopefully we'll see you on that side of the finish line for this race, right? So lots of cowbells, lots of orange, lots of celebration. Normally lots of hugs too, so just lots of virtual hugs at this point.
In the last 15 years, our flagship event, the Chicago Marathon, Team World Vision Team, has raised nearly $20 million for clean water projects. That's clean water for more than 400,000 people. 400,000. That is nothing short of incredible. Congratulations, Chicago team. We celebrate you and each yes along the way in these last 15 years. While you might be running your first Chicago Marathon this year, or maybe like Jeannie, it could be your 12th or 15th, we truly go farther together. Each one of our small yeses, each one of our small steps, each one of our small invitations to donate and give the gift of clean water make a huge impact over time. God is always doing more than we could ever ask or imagine. And I'm coming to find that He does that more in our small intentional steps. So my friends, today, as you move your feet, remember that every mile has a name, every step matters, and any movement forward is a pace. Congratulations. We hope that you are celebrating this milestone and painting the streets and the running paths of Chicago or your running paths across the country orange today. Twende Mambale Pamoja. Thank you for joining us this week. Tune in next week as we hear from more of our area directors across the country as they give us their best race day tips. And of course, if you enjoyed the podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share. See you next week.